Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Have you ever heard the saying, "This is not my circus, and these are not my monkeys"? I can only imagine that a thought similar to this must have passed through the mind of Amos at some point. For he lived in the southern kingdom of Judah when God called him to travel up north and deliver a message to that kingdom. Not that his kingdom, his homeland, was significantly more obedient to God, but for whatever reason, the message was addressed to Israel, and Amos was called to be the postman. And so Amos went. Of course, the next question then is this: what was going on up there that God needed to speak? Not much. And that was the problem. You see, the state of the nation was experiencing a time of peacefulness. The land was not being challenged, and so they could turn their attention to other things like the economy. And that seemed very strong. Wealth, prosperity, and all of that were enjoyed by many of the citizens. However, it was not all positive. For the government that was at peace with its neighbors was also a government that was corrupt and seemed to exist only to serve itself. And the wealthy, you see, they were increasing their financial fortunes, but they were doing so at the expense and on the backs of those that they could exploit, that those that they could take advantage of. But none of that seemed to be the core reason for God to send Amos with his message. So what was the problem? And why was Amos sent? Well, you see, they had become lukewarm in their devotion to God. It seems that they were taking for granted the blessings of God that He was bestowing on them. They had looked around. They had saw that they were in a period of peace. There was prosperity. And so they focused on those things instead of on Him. And moreover, some were even turning to idols. And so is it any wonder then that God was becoming angry? So He sends Amos to go up there and speak into the lives of these people. And I can only imagine, as he's traveling from his home in the south up north, he must have been muttering to himself that this was not his circus and that these were not his monkeys. But God wanted him to go. And so he went. And he delivered his message. Now, would they listen to him? Sure doesn't seem like it, because 25 or so years later, the northern kingdom would be conquered by Assyria and never to be heard from again. But let's set that aside for now and focus on this period of time for this passage. So our passage from Amos starts this way: "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it?" You see, the day of the Lord will come. And when it does, no one will escape. All will be judged. And for those condemned, it will be a day of darkness, a day of condemnation and death. And there will be weeping, and there will be gnashing of teeth, and all of the rest. But Amos's message from God doesn't end there. He continues, and he focuses specifically on the worship from these people. He continues, "I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." See, these people seemed to be just checking off the boxes when it came to worship. Their offerings that they were making were being done out of obedience instead of thanksgiving. And you can see where this is going. And poor Amos, he was called to deliver this difficult message to these people. See, here we have a people that have begun to turn away from God. They have become lukewarm in their worship. And they've begun to take God for granted. They're living in a period of peace and prosperity. But you see, instead of offering thanksgiving to God, they're doing all they can to further enhance their wealth and their treasures. Instead of serving others, they are serving themselves. Instead of sharing what God has given them, they're keeping it for themselves. And in the midst of this, God sent Amos to deliver a message to these people who had begun to turn away from him. And I think that's worth repeating. God sent Amos into the messy world of these sinful people. God raised up a prophet with a wake-up call to them. How easy would it have been for God to just turn his back on them like they had done to him? How convenient would it have been for God to just allow the world to swallow them up? But he didn't. Instead, he sent someone into this messy situation with a message anchored in love, a message of warning about where they were heading. See, this is the love of God. God who will pursue his creation in spite of their rejection of him. Now, this all happened over 700 years before God sent the ultimate Savior. And who he sent would come with much more than a message. He would come with his own body, his own blood. See, the only Son of God would enter into the messiness of his creation, and he would dwell. But these people would turn away from him. These people would ignore him, even reject him. They wouldn't accept this message, but instead would eventually turn him over to Rome to be executed. But through this, I want to emphasize that point, not in spite of this rejection, but through this rejection, God chose to pursue and save his creation. You see, through the world's rejection of his Son, through his murder, he became the sacrifice that would atone for the sins of all. Can there be any greater example of love? Can there be any greater example of how much God will sacrifice to pursue us? And He continues to do this even today. Through the body and the blood of Jesus, He offers us forgiveness of our sins. He makes a way for us to turn back to Him in repentance every single time we turn away. And so this morning, I invite you to take your own temperature. Are you like the people that Amos was sent to speak to? Are you lukewarm in your understanding and your appreciation of what God has done for you? Or even worse, are you feeling that just maybe God has stopped pursuing you? Maybe you're far too far away from Him. If this is you, I have a message this morning. Whether you're lukewarm, whether you are afraid that you have been forgotten, this message is the same. God is still in love with you. God is still pursuing you. He has no regrets about sending His Son to die for you. And He continues to offer you His grace and His mercy. And so this morning, I encourage you, open your hearts and hear this message. Call out to Him in prayer to wake you from your slumber, to reignite that flame of faith that's in your heart. And then rest in this confidence that regardless of how you might feel about Him, He will never stop loving you, and He will never stop pursuing you. Please pray with me. Lord God, Your pursuit of us sent Your Son to the cross. May we always be mindful and always respond with thanksgiving and gratitude. We pray that You continue to pursue us, that You continue to send the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and that we never become lukewarm towards You. In Your name we pray. Amen.